case, I thought we would just talk a little bit about the specific nature of Rosh Hashanah, without mentioning any names, not to get political. But several years ago, a comedian made a joke about a politician who was expressing affinity to the Jewish population in New York, and commented, it was this time of year, that this week is Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, so this politician is probably going to be in Times Square with a horn and ribbons and saying, "Where is everybody?" So the audience laughed at that. Why did the audience laugh at that? Bukhari's got a good point. And so if everyone does that on January 1st in Times Square, so presumably if the Jews have a different New Year, so okay, we'll move it all over to September, from January to September. But clearly there was a perception, even among the non-Jewish audience, that the Jews don't celebrate the New Year that way. That's not the way we bring in the New Year. And it's worth asking, even on a very basic level, just the expression, "Happy New Year," does that have a place in connection with Rosh Hashanah? So that's an interesting question, because on the surface you might say, yeah, it does. Right? Because New Year, that it is, and happy, Simcha, so we associate Simcha with Yom Tov, and we have a mitzvah of the Samachta Bechogecha. So the question is, does that mitzvah apply to Rosh Hashanah or not? So the truth is, there are arguments on both sides. Why would you think there should be, and why would you think there shouldn't be? Why should there be Simcha on Rosh Hashanah? Yantiv, right? So from a halachic perspective, that would seem to be a big plus. If there's a din of Simcha on Yantiv, Samachta Bechagacha, so Rosh Hashanah looks like Yantiv. How do we know it's Yantiv? We have in Issa Malacha, we have some of the basic concepts associated with Yantiv that we have with Yom Tov. So that seems like a good enough reason. What else? Sorry?
That's a question. Why?
Oh, why else should it or shouldn't it have? So, from the perspective of Yom HaDin, it seems like maybe it's not such a happy day. Maybe it's a scary day. So maybe that's a reason not to go partying in Times Square and not to assume that it's a day of Simcha. So, on the one hand, we have some reasons halachically to think that it is a Yantif, and some reasons halachically not to be so sure. Because the Chi of Simcha that connects with the Yom Tovim is associated with the Shalmei Simcha, with the Korbanos that we brought. And on Rosh Hashanah, so we don't have those. That's with the Regalim. So on the one hand, it's Yantif. On the other hand, it's not totally Yantif. On the one hand, it's a day when you might think, okay, it's a holiday, we should be happy. On the other hand, it's a day of Din. And maybe that's an atmosphere that is not so celebratory. So we have reasons to think in both directions. We have reasons to think that it's a day of Simcha, and reasons to think that it's not a day of Simcha. And we don't have a real clear indication in the Gemara or really anywhere else. So how can we figure this out? So if we want to try to look at the clues, so we know that one mitzvah practically that's associated with Simcha and Yantiv is... What's most associated with Simcha Yantif practically? Sorry?
Suda.
Suda, right? So do we have a chiyuv to eat on Rosh Hashanah? Or, asking it another way, do we have a iser to fast on Rosh Hashanah? That would seem to be a good clue. Let's work backwards. So let's look. Is there such an obligation? Is there such an iser? And if so, that'll tell us something. So usually the safest answer to any question in halacha is... it's a machlokas. You can't go wrong with that. Except in this case, it's not a machlokas of two opinions. It's a machlokas with at least six opinions. And so is there a chiyuv to eat on Rosh Hashanah? Or conversely, is there an issur to fast? So you find at least six views. There are those who say that it's a chiyuv to eat, it's also to fast. There are those who say it's mutter to fast. There are those who say that it's permitted to fast, but it's not a chiyuv or an iser. There are those who say you can fast only the second day, not the first day. How could you explain that? Well, some point out, the second day is the Rabbanan, the first day is the Raisa.
That's true in Rosh Hashanah also?
Yeah, even though in Eretz Yisrael they also observe 2 days, but that's because it's so early in the month. We don't have time to, even in Eretz Yisrael, to get to Shulchan Ha'Aravim Tov, and we have more time to get it out. But Rosh Hashanah is theoretically 1 day. And also, the first day of Rosh Hashanah is also Rosh Chodesh. Okay, so there's some who make that distinction. And there are those who suggest that, in general, it's usher to fast, but it's a little bit different than, say, Shabbos. On Shabbos, so we're not allowed to fast, but we're allowed to fast part of the we're also not allowed to fast even part of the day. Now we have to eat before Chatzos on Shabbos. So there are some poskim who suggest that in Rosh Hashanah you can't fast the whole day, but you can fast beyond Chatzos, which is different than Shabbos, and which is an important heter, because on Rosh Hashanah, so the minyan tends to go long in almost all places, unless you daven early in Rosh Hashanah, which some people do, but most people are not finished with shul before Chatzos on Rosh Hashanah. Even if every Shabbos of the year they are finished before Chatzos, it's not so much of a problem, but in Rosh Hashanah it's harder, and maybe that's not a problem. It's a whole discussion in general, the different hanhagas, but the post can talk about this at length, about the whole question of whether you should have some type of snack before davening is over. In Karen Biavner, recall, he used to break before Musaf and have Kiddush. But at the same time, they were concerned that there's a problem of eating before the Tekiah Shofar. So he used to have a cake that was measured to be exactly the right size to be enough that you're not fasting, but not enough that you're eating before the Tekiah. So it's a very hard balance. So this is a question in general. Is there an issue to fast until Chatzos in Rosh Hashanah? How do you balance that with trying to get out of school time to eat? Not such a simple thing. So if you say that there's no issue to fast half a day, so fine, that helps. And then there's also a view that says that Shittim HaKubetzah, Sim Beitza, that only very holy tzaddikim are allowed to fast. So that gives us 6 views. And the one that we're most interested in for today is the question of why should there be a perspective that you can fast, that it's up to you. If you want to fast, you can, and if not, you don't have to. What exactly is that sheet to represent? I think that's the most interesting one for our purposes today. But so far, we don't really have a clue. Right? So far, trying to figure out whether or not the Simcha and Rosh Hashanah pursuing this issue of fasting and eating hasn't really given us an answer. So we're still left kind of confused. And this is a discussion, for example, the Or Sameach talks about, before me, the Shagas Aryeh talked about, all trying to figure out this question, is there a mitzvah of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah? And they talk about these issues, is there a Chi of Suga, what do we see, how does that play in? So if we don't get an answer from the question of fasting, where else can we look for a clue? Well, what about davening? What about, say, the Nusach in Kiddush? Right, do we say Hasienu in davening, like we say on Yantif? Do we say Sosim v'Simcha in Kiddush on Rosh Hashanah? So once again, this is a machlokas. So again, giving us a little bit of confusion. And particularly if you look at the Pesachim of the Shulchan Aruch, so we end up again confused, because the Shulchan Aruch paskins that we do not say Sosim v'Simcha in Kiddush on Rosh Hashanah, well, and apparently indicating that it's not a day of Simcha. But we got to the first question, the question of eating. Shulchan Aruch paskins, Ochlin v'Shosin u'Smechin, that we eat and drink and be merry on Rosh Hashanah. So which is it? Again, we have apparently a theory here. Is it a day of Simcha? Or is it not a day of Simcha? It's again a question. So what about Hallel? That would be a good clue. Right? So Hallel is something that we say on happy days. So what's the story with Hallel? So Halal, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Erechim that was a contentious topic as well. That the Malachim accused the Jews and said, God, why do you give the Torah to this Jewish people? They don't even have enough Hakar Satov. They're not even grateful enough to say Halal on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So God defends them and says, well, what do you expect? Melech Malchei Hamlochim, Yoshev Al Kiseh Hadin, V'Sifrei Chayim, V'Sifrei Meisim, Suchim Lufana. Right, the King of Kings is sitting in judgment, and he's got the Book of Life and the Book of Death in front of him. So they're going to say, sure. They're going to be able to say Hallel in such a context. So what does that sound like? It sounds like that there is, theoretically, some union of Hallel, but it's muted at that same point that you raised before, that it's Yom HaDin, so maybe we can't really feel Simcha. So it sounds a little bit like this Gemara is saying that there is Simcha, but it's held back by something. That the din is getting in the way of us feeling Simcha. And what's particularly interesting, if you look at the Rambam, the way he codifies this halacha, it's in Hilchos Chanukah, where it talks about the laws of Halal. So there, he almost gives us the answer. There, the Rambam says that you say Halal on all the following days, and he lists the days. And then he goes on to say, however, you cannot say Halal on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Why not? Because they are days of Eima and Yira and Pachad. Right? They're days that we are in a sense of tension. And they are not days of Simcha Yisera. So he almost gives you the answer and then he pulls it back, right? These are days of fear and they're not days of happiness that much. So what does that mean, not days of Simcha Yisera? The Brisker Rav has a whole discussion about this, about how apparently there's a threshold for Simcha, that it's got to be a certain level in order to justify Halal. And Rosh Hashanah, we have some simcha, but we don't have enough simcha, so it doesn't rise to this level. So that's where this issue is. It doesn't qualify for halal. So looking at these three biggest clues, we're not really in a much better position than we were to begin with. Right, so we tried to figure out, is there an Isser fasting, a Chiyuv Suda, six different directions. Tried to figure out the Nusach HaTfilah, does that tell us anything? Machlokas and Shulchan Aruch seems to paskin in two different directions as far as these two questions are concerned. Halal, or somewhere in the middle. And there are other nafkaminas folks can talk about in terms of Simcha and Rosh Hashanah. Gabi Nezer has a tshuva about whether or not, let's say, a person has to make a bris on Yantiv. So a bris is docha, bris pizmano is docha any other day of the year. We have a bris on Yom Kippur if necessary. But the poskim discuss that the moel has the right to not want to, say you live in Antarctica and you want to have your bris over the 3-day sukkahs, so you want to tell the moel he's got to come to Antarctica and be there for 3 days with you. So he can say, I got a chiyuv simchas yantif, I have to be with my family over yantif, I'm not going to spend the time in Antarctica. But let's say it's Rosh Hashanah, you also have the same tainas, Abinezer has a tshuva about that. A few other nafkaminas as well. The poskim trying to figure out, is this the case? Is there a chi of simcha on this day or is there not? How do we interpret all the clues? So perhaps we could say, maybe along the following lines, that there is a chi of simcha in Rosh Hashanah that does need to be indicated. Here we have Shulchan Aruch saying, Ochel v'shosh and smechin. We see these other indications that there is some type of simcha. And at the same time, things are held back. Right? And we see also, again, the Shulchan Aruch says not to say sasim v'simcha in Kiddush. So what does that represent? So one contemporary posek, the Shalos and Shuvas Shevet HaKahasi, is a dayan in Belz, Shamek Hasgros. So he has a tshuva in which he quotes an interpretation of the Vilna Gaon, in his commentary to Megillas Esther. He says, what's the difference between the words sason and the words simcha? What do they mean practically that's different from each other? So the Vilna Gaon understood that sason is a type of intense joy in the moment, while simcha is a more sustained kind of happiness that's not necessarily focused on this moment right now. L'moshel, let's say you're eating steak right now. So that would be sason. Let's say somebody gives you a gift certificate that you can have a free steak every night of your life for the rest of your life. So then that would be simcha. Knowing that you have access to the steak forever, that would be simcha. Enjoying it right now, that's sason. So within that definition, what emerges is that the three regalim, Pesach, Sukkot, Shavuos, that's a time of sason. That's a time when you're lifnei Hashem. And you have to express joy right then and there. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah is a time of simcha, yes, but it's not sason. It's a time when you should have happiness, but not the type of happiness that you're celebrating in the moment. What does that mean? Let's say that the type of joy that we bring to Rosh Hashanah is not that we are enjoying ourselves at the moment. You're in front of the jury right now. This is Yom HaDin. This is not a time when you're celebrating. But the simcha that we're talking about is a sense of confidence that if we go through the process properly, that ultimately things will be good. So that recognition evokes simcha, which is different than sason. So in that case, we could understand the Shulchan Aruch's psak that we don't say simcha v'sason in Kiddush because it's not a day like that. But we do say that we should be eating and drinking in general because it's a time of simcha as well. Yes, sir?
We should say simcha
and mesach. So why don't we change the Kiddush? And why don't we say that we'll cut out the word sason and leave it to simcha?
It seems like you always have to be together.
Oh, so that's a good question itself. Unless you want to say, then I think it's a good question. I think this might be part of the answer if the whole mahalach was true, that the simcha that we mentioned, we say sason v'simcha, is a certain type of simcha. It's the enjoying of the moment. Sason v'simcha means that the meal that we're having now is a reflection of our sason and simcha. While the simcha in Rosh Hashanah is really a whole qualitatively different kind of experience that doesn't require a mention in Kiddush. So let's consider that point for a second. So how exactly does this manifest itself? And especially, like we said before, that we're particularly interested in the view that you're allowed to fast, but you're not chayav to fast, it's not usur to fast, it's not a mitzvah to fast, but an obligation, but it's possibility. How do you understand that view? So we mentioned, we were talking about shofar last week, that the idea that there is a dual structure with some mitzvot. Shofar was one of them. We mentioned Thursday, tshuva, you might find this also. It comes up a lot in this month of Elul, this whole maisa mitzvah, kiyum mitzvah duality. Right? We saw that in the context of shofar, we saw it in the context of tshuva, but it comes up in the context really most primarily of something like simchas yantiv, that we have a mitzvah to eat and drink on yantiv, and we also have a pasuk that says v'samachta v'chagecha. So what's the relationship between those two? Really, the kiyum ha-mitzvah is the simcha, is the emotion of happiness. And the eating and drinking is a means to the end. It's a way of bringing about that emotion. So it would seem that on Rosh Hashanah, we also have that same mahalach. We also have a simcha that we're trying to get to, and eating and drinking in order to bring that about. But the question is, are we going for exactly the same thing? So when it comes to Sukkot, so we're looking for Sason. So yeah, you have to be eating and drinking now. And to be fasting on Sukkot would be a complete contradiction to the idea of Simcha on that day. On Rosh Hashanah, however, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, so in general, the eating will be conducive to bringing about the slightly different Simcha that we're looking for. So outwardly, it seems like it's the same thing. That Sukkot, we want to eat to get to the state of Simcha. Rosh Hashanah, we also would want to eat to get to the state of Simcha. Hi. So that pasuk is quoted, right? Pasuk in Nehemiah, right? That seems to indicate that there is an Indian to go and eat and celebrate on Rosh Hashanah. Maybe it's reflective that certain posts can quote that as an indication that there is a Chiyuv Sukkah. So the question is, what does that represent? Right, so that's also, I mean, that's also integrated. It also suggests the interconnectedness, maybe. It's also a part of the story. But that pasuk is certainly relevant. So if you want to say that it's a means to an end, then Rosh Hashanah, could be it's a slightly different means to an end. That on Sukkot, we're looking for joy in the moment. On Rosh Hashanah, what we're looking for is a recognition that our tshuva will be successful and that God will welcome us back in and that everything will be good. So how do you get to that end? Well, one way is through eating. Yes, that could do it. But you also need to feel that your tshuva is a successful tshuva. So how do you do that? So one way to do that is the regular ways of tefillah and everything else associated with tshuva. But it could be that fasting might have a role there as well. So we know, for example, when it comes to Shabbos, so normally we don't fast on Shabbos, even though this year we are going to be fasting Shabbos in a week and a half from now. But normally we don't fast on Shabbos, and there's really only two exceptions practically to when we fast on Shabbos. One is the upcoming Yom Kippur. The other is the Gemara Maseches Tainis. The Gemara says that if somebody had a bad dream, and he feels that the dream is relevant to something, he feels that the dream is indicative of some faith, so then he should fast in order to counteract that bad dream. And the Gemara says he should do this even on Shabbos. And then the Gemara says that because he fasted on Shabbos, he should have another fast, Yoshev Tainis Lataniso. It's like people come back from vacation and they're so exhausted they say they need a vacation from the vacation. So the Gemara says you should be Yoshev Tainis Lataniso, you should fast in order to atone for the fast that you did on Rosh Hashanah. I'm sorry, on Shabbos. So the Rishonim explain that the whole reason you have to eat on Shabbos in the first place is not because of Simcha, probably, it's a slightly different mitzvah. It's a mitzvah of Oneg. You want to be in a state where you are enjoying Shabbos. So for most people, 99% of all people, 99.99% of all people, to fast on Shabbos would be a contradiction to the idea of Oneg on Shabbos. So therefore, you have to eat in order to reach Oneg. But if you have a tiny scholar, if you have somebody who's so upset about the dream that he had that he can't have any sense of comfort because he's so worried about what's going to happen, and we have this tradition that fasting is going to impact on that, so then it comes out that it's more productive for him to fast towards Oneg Shabbos than it is to eat. So for most people, eating is what's necessary for Oneg Shabbos. But you could have a rare scenario, where fasting is more conducive to Oneg Shabbos than eating is. So too, we could say that when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, so Rosh Hashanah, the whole idea is to get to this state of Simcha. For most people, eating will be necessary in order to have that state of Simcha. But theoretically, we could imagine that if somebody feels that his tshuva is incomplete, and that the only way he's going to feel like he has a full sense of tshuva is through fasting, so then that could also be the means to the end for Simcha and Rosh Hashanah that everyone else achieves through eating. You follow? So that theoretically could think make everything make sense. And we'll end in a moment, but just want to mention that this is also particularly relevant when we think about this, that so we started Slichas this week, and we'll continue Slichas through Yom Kippur. And the Slichas that we already started, Motzei Shabbos, tells us a lot about the mentality of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva that will formally start on Thursday, on Wednesday night. Because the practice of starting Slichas when we do, when the Ashkenazim do, is past Motzei Shabbos. So we know we have two factors, right? That it has to be Motzei Shabbos, Motzei Menucha, and that it's the Motzei Shabbos that's at least 4 days before Rosh Hashanah. So in other years, when Rosh Hashanah is earlier in the week, we have to do it two Shabbos before. So what's the idea of 4 days? So one perspective on the idea of 4 days is that we want to have Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and you can't fast on all the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, because 4 of the days are blacked out from fasting, because 1 day is Shabbos, 1 day is Erev Yom Kippur, when there's a chiyuv to eat, and 2 days are Rosh Hashanah, according to the view that you don't fast on Rosh Hashanah. So you're missing 4 days, so we need 4 extra days before Rosh Hashanah to count. So there are two or more, but there's at least 2 tremendous lessons in that that reflect on our whole Aseres Yemei Tshuva experience. First of all, as Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, that you would have thought that Aseres Yemei Tshuva just means, okay, there are 10 days in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur that gives you Aseres Yemei Tshuva. And apparently no. It's not just there happens to be 10 days. But there's a process of 10 days of tshuva which you need to go through. And ideally, that would be in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. But you can't fit them all in. You're going to have to pull back and add an extra 4 beforehand. So that itself, the idea that we need to have 10 days, regardless of how many actually fit in between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, is a very powerful comment on the active responsibility associated with the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. And now when we think about this other factor of fasting that we're talking about today, so we see that the whole point of pulling it back is because we need 10 fastable days, and we're missing 4 fastable days during the actual Aseres Yemei Tshuva. So we have to pull back to allow for 10 fastable days. Now, if we think about that, I think that's the whole reason why we started Slichas now, to give us 10 fastable days. So I'll just speak for myself. I don't think too many of us are fasting too many of these days. We're fasting 2 of them, Tzom Gedalia and Yom Kippur. But the rest of us are probably not fasting any more than 2 of the days. So does that mean we're doing the wrong thing? I hope not. But what it does mean is that it's a reflection of the type of active tshuva that's called for during this time. And as we see from this discussion about Rosh Hashanah, so unlike Yom Kippur, where there's a chiyuv d'oraisa to fast, but these other days when we have a concept of fasting as an option, so tshuva is the goal, and fasting is a means to an end in order to get that. And for us nowadays, it may not be the most productive means to an end. Maybe there are more ways to do it, especially when we consider the fact that the Shulchan Aruch says that a Talmud Chacham, meaning a yeshiva student, shouldn't take on too many fasts because it weakens his ability to focus on learning. So, okay, so fasting might not be for us, but the learning and the chesed and the tshuva and the tefillah and all the other methods that we have are what's in place of that. So with that mentality, we should strive for the ideal that this Aseres Yemei Tshuva, which already started, and isn't going to start officially on Rosh Hashanah, but it's already in action. So we should recognize that these are days in which we have an active tshuva responsibility, when really, theoretically, we should be fasting on these days. And the reason we're not fasting is because other things that we do are hopefully more effective than fasting to get us to that point. But hopefully it's with that awareness that we'll actually realize that imperative. Just to quickly review what we spoke about, so we tried to figure out this question of whether or not there is a mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Hashanah. Is the expression Happy New Year appropriate at all for what we are observing this week? And we saw this was a suffix that the Shagas Avi discussed, and the Arsameach discussed, and many others. And they said, okay, let's look at some clues to try to figure out. So what about the Chi of Suda? What about the Nisr Tainis? And we saw 6 views in Rishonim and in the Poskim. one that you may not fast, one that you should fast, and one that you can fast, one that you can fast the second day, one that you can fast half a day, one that only tzaddikim can fast. And we focus specifically on the view that you can fast if you want to. But either way, it didn't give us a full answer just yet, and we looked at the question of the nusach of tefillah. We saw the Shulchan Aruch says not to say salsin and simchin in Kiddush, but at the same time, the Shulchan Aruch also said ochlam b'shoshin esmechin. Also left us confused, and then we considered the question of halal, where the Gemara says that apparently we should say halal, except that Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Meisim suchim lefanav. It sounds like it's a conflict between what should be and the actual atmosphere of the day, and the Rambam formulates it differently, saying these are not days of Simcha Yisera, leading the Brisker Rav to say that there's a threshold of Simcha that we don't reach. So we mentioned a few other nafkaminas, such as the Mole, who wants a Taina Simchas Yantiv, and then we noted the suggestion, mentioned the Chumashay of Arkahasi, that there's a difference between sasan and simcha, that sasan is joy in the moment, like eating steak, and simcha is a more sustained sense of awareness and happiness, like having a gift certificate for free steak. So Rosh Hashanah is not about the sasan that the regalim is about, it's about the sense of confidence that comes to our tshuva. And in that sense, then maybe we could understand the fasting idea that eating on yantif is really a means to an end, and that when the end is sasan, so really fasting is incompatible with that. But when the end is the simcha of Rosh Hashanah, so maybe there is a room for such fasting, in the same sense that we find that Shabbos you could have a tainus chalom, because a person in that state, the fasting is more of an onen for him than eating would be. And in that sense, Rosh Hashanah, perhaps we have the same type of mahalach. And when we think about the fact that the slichos and the aseres me'tshuva, that slichos are pulled back in order to accommodate extra fastable days for the aseres me'tshuva, and that there are two important lessons from that. One is that this is an active process of tshuva. It's not just there are days in between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, but there are days in which we have to do something, and that fasting, theoretically, is at the heart of this, and we even change the schedule in order to accommodate more days of fasting. So in practice, we're not actually doing that, most of us, but it should teach us what it is that we're striving for, and that the hope is the other methods that we use, because they're more effective than fasting, will indeed be that way, and we should have Yom HaDin that is successful, and that we should come out on the other end newly invigorated and newly prepared for a year of Aliyah and Hatzlacha in all important ways. Thank you, Shikoch. I wish you a wonderful day. I will see you next year.